Welcome to the Pick Cop Podcast. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a concept that, honestly, it promises to rewire how you experience the world. It's called the traveler mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And if your goal is to trade that kind of, surface-level sightseeing for something deeper, for these soul-shifting experiences, then you are in exactly the right place.
Absolutely. And this analysis is, I think, it's crucial for anyone who's ever felt that disconnect,
right?
Between the trip you planned and the one you actually had, which felt a bit rushed,
yeah,
a bit superficial,
yeah.
And our insights today, they're drawn directly from the best-selling ebooks you can find at the Pick Cop bookstore. So our mission here is really to extract the core philosophy from their guide, The Traveler Mindset: Trading Sightseeing for Soul Shifting.
And I think we all know that feeling, don't we? The core problem.
Oh yeah.
You arrive somewhere new, you have the guidebooks, your phone is fully charged for like endless photos.
And you just start ticking things off the list.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're moving, you're looking at things, but you're not really in it. You're not participating.
Right.
And you get home, you're exhausted. You have 1,000 pictures that prove you were there, but the experience feels
thin. It was thin. Like you were just watching a movie about your own vacation.
That is the perfect word for it.
And that feeling, that's the hallmark of the tourist experience. You're an observer.
Yeah.
But the traveler mindset, which the Pick Cop material details so well, it demands a pivot.
A total shift.
It's about being in it. It's about abandoning that passive role and instead, focusing on learning, laughing with strangers, really connecting.
Yeah.
And then you carry pieces of that world home inside you, not just, keychains.
It sounds profound, and it is, but let's make it actionable.
Wow.
If the goal is this soul-shifting experience, where do we actually start? What's the first step?
The cornerstone is curiosity. But
yeah,
it's a specific kind of active curiosity. It's not enough to just book a ticket and say you're curious. The authors argue that real traveling requires a commitment, a willingness to intentionally throw yourself into a place.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Especially when it's uncomfortable or just a little vulnerable.
That's where it gets interesting, because it's not a physical shift. It's a mental one.
Right.
If you just float on the surface, you only see what's marketed to you. But the traveler, they're diving down. So how do we train ourselves for that?
Well, the Pick Cop insights are great on this. They emphasize using small, manageable acts of discomfort as like training wheels.
Okay. I like that.
The shift from floating to immersing is about accepting a little bit of friction. For example, yes, eat what the locals eat. Even if you can't pronounce it, or it looks a little challenging. The immediate reward is a new taste, sure, but the psychological reward is so much deeper.
How so?
Because that small act of culinary risk is training you to accept uncertainty in much bigger ways later on.
So it's about building a tolerance for the unknown, one weird-looking dish at a time.
Exactly. And that extends to language, too. You have to learn a few words.
Beyond hello and thank you.
Right. A few rudimentary phrases, even if you sound silly, even if you mess it up. That effort, as small as it is, shows a level of respect that just, it opens doors.
A smile and a clumsy attempt at the language can probably break down barriers that speaking perfect English never could.
It absolutely can. It signals you're there to connect, not just consume.
But let me push back a bit. I mean, we live in this hyper-scheduled, super-optimized world.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a need for efficiency? If I just let the unexpected happen, don't I risk, wasting my precious vacation time?
That's a critical point. And it's about control versus surrender.
Mm-hmm.
The source material would argue that the feeling of wasted time is a tourist construct. The tourist mindset equates value with a completed checklist. The traveler mindset equates value with, with depth of feeling, with unexpected discovery.
So when you trade discovery for efficiency, you get the checklist, but maybe not a story that actually moved you.
Precisely. The moments you don't schedule, that's where the magic is. The sudden invitation, the street festival you stumble upon, those are the things you remember years later.
I get it. So you're building resilience. You're building memories based on how you adapted, not just what you saw.
And that brings us right down to the most practical thing imaginable.
Which is?
Logistics. Packing.
Oh. Ah, yes. Overpacking. The first enemy of spontaneity.
It's a beautiful insight from the Pick Cop authors, because it connects this high-level philosophy to a very real material choice. Lightness, literally, they say, is essential.
It's so true. I've been there. Dragging heavy suitcases over cobblestones, it physically anchors you.
And mentally. The source talks about bringing 5 pairs of shoes just in case. It's not preparation, it's an attempt to bring your home safety net with you.
Which is self-defeating.
Completely. If you're weighed down by bags, you're not going to spontaneously hop on a local train or take a last-minute detour. Your luggage becomes your master.
So the packing list itself is a mental exercise. What do we actually need?
The minimalist essentials. Clothes you can layer, basic toiletries, passport, meds, and maybe one small comfort item.
Like a notebook or something.
Exactly. The rule is, if carrying it stops you from moving easily, you pack too much.
The analogy they use in the source is perfect. Think about running through a train station to catch a connection with one light bag.
Right. Easy. Nimble.
Versus dragging two massive suitcases. You have to stop. You struggle. That physical ease translates directly into mental freedom, the freedom to say yes.
It's not just about convenience. It's about attitude. Light baggage makes you feel capable. Heavy baggage makes you feel burdened.
This is such a simple but powerful idea. And look, if you're intrigued by this and want to go even deeper into these strategies, I really encourage you to explore more. Just visit www.pitcot.com. There's so much more waiting for you there.
It's a great resource.
So, okay, we're traveling light. We're operating with this active curiosity. What's next? This is where it gets really good, right?
This is where it all comes alive. The next step is activating social immersion.
And this is where the travel experience stops being something you just look at.
And becomes a story you're actually co-creating.
So give us some examples. It's easy to say talk to people, but how? What really works?
It's about small exchanges that break the normal transactional loop.
Okay.
So you're not just asking the shopkeeper the price. You're asking where the item came from. A genuine question.
Or asking the taxi driver for their favorite unfamous place to eat.
Exactly. Not where the tourists go. And something even simpler. Smiling. Making eye contact for just a second longer than you might at home. These are tiny gateways.
But let's be realistic. In a big city or with a huge language barrier, doesn't that sometimes just lead to confusion?
It can. And that's okay. The source material is clear. This isn't about interrogation. It's about brief, high-quality engagement. And sometimes the mutual laughter at the misunderstanding is the connection.
Ah, that's a great point.
The core idea from Pitcot is that locals are the gateway to the real heart of a destination. They hold the keys to the hidden spots, the untold stories.
And maybe even a spontaneous invitation.
That's the dream, right? You go from taking a photo of a building to being invited to a neighborhood party inside it. Those are the stories that last a lifetime.
Not the monument.
Not the monument. And that is the essence of stepping into a culture versus just watching it.
It takes courage, though.
It does. It means going to the festival even if you don't understand the rituals. It means trying the street food you've never heard of.
Or even just sitting quietly in a temple or a park and just observing, soaking it in without needing to photograph it.
Yes. And the result of all this is profound. These moments don't just change how you see a place.
They change how you see yourself.
They absolutely do. You're stretching your own boundaries. You're discovering how adaptable you really are.
Which brings us to the final barrier we have to break.
The big one. The checklist mentality.
Right. The tourists need to collect I've been there stamps. Pay money, go to site, take proof, leave.
It's the pressure that ruins so many trips, isn't it? The feeling that you haven't done a city unless you've seen the top five things in the guidebook.
Even if you have to sprint through them, totally exhausted.
The Pitcot philosophy is about collecting moments that shake you, shape you, and stay with you. It's depth over coverage. Always.
Let's use that great example from the source material to make it really clear.
Okay.
The tourist mentality says, I must see the Eiffel Tower. It's non-negotiable. It's a box to be checked.
Whereas the traveler mindset says, let's wander the side streets of Paris and find that tiny cafe no one's heard of.
Where the bread is perfect and the owner has time to talk.
Exactly. That cafe moment is intimate. It's a real story. And 5 years from now, that memory will mean so much more than a blurry photo of the tower you rushed through.
It's about shifting your soul, not just your location. Dropping the script and living the story you came to find.
That's the ultimate lesson.
What a powerful message. Our whole mission today was to unpack that, to really show how abandoning those routines and checklists in favor of curiosity and courage, how that leads to truly transformative travel.
And we hope this deep dive has given you some fuel to look at your next trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, even your own neighborhood with this kind of renewed openness.
That's a great point.
Because the goal isn't just to see the world. It's to let the world see and change you.
And maybe we can leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Yeah. The best souvenirs aren't the things you pack in your suitcase.
Right.
They're the lessons, the laughter, the insights you carry inside you. They're the memories that never, ever fade.
It was a wonderful note to end on. And if you want to continue on this path, please visit www.pitcott.com to learn more.
And specifically, if you want to download more best-selling ebooks that are just packed with this kind of insight, head over to the Pitcott bookstore. That's at www.pitcott.com/books. We really appreciate you listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can find it too. Thank you for being there with us, and thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.